Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Family Services provides a wide array of assistance to the community. For example, there's a program and shelter for people who've been subjected to domestic violence. There's a large outpatient mental health clinic. There's early childhood development programs, and so on. We're going to talk to the agency's executive director, Tom Haar, and as well as Susan Ward, who is the clinical director of the Betty Ann Kroenke Center, which is a center devoted to protecting and helping people who have been subjected to domestic violence. Tom, Susan, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. We're so pleased to be here.
This is a tremendous program because you do provide such a wide array of assistance. But let's just tell our listeners that you really do focus primarily on Montgomery County and some parts of Maryland. However, I suspect that you have counterparts in other parts of our metropolitan area. And you do, I would think, Tom, that you all get calls from people all over the area. Was that true?
Oh, it is very true. We often get calls from other jurisdictions or from other areas outside of what we particularly do. But health and human services systems are complex because people are complex. And so you have to know a lot. When people call us, if it's not a service that we offer, we do our best to connect them either to the right organization in their jurisdiction or to another one in Montgomery County.
Okay. And now let's jump into what you do, because I think your program in the Betty Ann Kroenke Center is a tremendous one. And by providing the kind of assistance you do to people who've been subjected to domestic violence, it is such a critical thing. Tell us a little bit about your center and how it's sponsored.
Okay. Montgomery County, the Abused Persons Program is the sponsor of the program, the owner of the program, and we're subcontracted by them to manage the facility.
Okay.
The Montgomery County Crisis Center and the Montgomery County Family Justice Center are also the two other partners involved in this venture.
You actually have a shelter and counseling for people. Now, we often say women, but it's not necessarily women. Do you have any men who are in the program?
We don't. We serve women and their dependent children. There are other programs that serve men. But the reality is, statistically, about 15% of domestic violence victims are men. So the large majority are women.
The larger group that needs help.
Correct.
Are women. Okay. And children who are also victims of this abuse, one way or the other. And so you have counseling programs. You actually have a shelter. What do people have to do to qualify if there's such a thing?
They need to go to the Abused Persons Program or the Montgomery County Crisis Center for an assessment, and that's how we get our referrals. Mm-hmm. It's a 54-bed facility. We are frequently full, so sometimes there is a waiting process, unfortunately. But the length of stay is 60 to 90 days, so there is, you know, turnover in terms of opportunity for new clients to come in. The idea is that not only is it a safe shelter, but it is a full service treatment program as well. Mm-hmm. Individual therapy, group therapy, case management. We have nursing services, a daycare.
And people can find out more. Does the website at Family Services provide information on all these programs, Tom?
Yes, it does. We have a very comprehensive website because we do offer a lot of different programs, and that is the easiest way to find us at www.fs-inc.org, familieservices-inc.org, and you'll see all of our programs from early childhood up to adults.
Quite an impressive list, I must say, in checking out all the things that you do in terms of helping people integrate into the community, behavioral health, the child development, all of these things. It's incredible. And you do a lot of education, I gather, as well.
Yes, we do.
That's actually part of all these programs, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, I think we have an interesting history that drives, you know, the way we look today. We've been in the community for 104 years, and in 1908, our founders— who included one of the founders of Montgomery General Hospital, were wise enough to say that the organization's role was not only to relieve suffering in the community, but to study the root causes. And so as we've evolved over all these years, and of course as the community's changed, that education part is a really important part of dealing with the root cause, school readiness, for example, early childhood health and wellness, making sure kids have immunizations, making sure they have medical homes.
A lot of basic things.
Very basic, yes. In our children's programs, we make 7,000 home visits a year.
Wow. So and you're checking on the condition, living conditions as well?
Mostly we're really trying to develop the strength in the family and to show people how they can foster child development and how you can have a safe home. We do inventories with them, you know, the whole thing of protecting electrical outlets all the way up to how do you foster small motor skills and large motor skill development.
Right. And that is preparing children for school. So, I mean, those years are critical in terms of development overall and long term. So, yeah, valuable service. Now, when we're talking about this vast array of services, what are some of the sources of support that come to you all? Is it government? Is it private donations? What?
All of the above.
And
as you might guess,
anything.
It takes more than a village. I think it takes a lot to keep the place going as the population has grown. You know, Montgomery County is now about 1 million people. And so along with it comes a lot of need. But yes, you know, we're very significant contracts with the government, our early Head Start program, for example. Mm-hmm. We see 147 families. But we also have many foundations that have been supportive to us over the years and contribute. And then, of course, individual contributions, and not only contributions of money, but time.
Sure.
Volunteer board members, volunteers who come in and help out with child care and things like that.
Well, and you're doing, actually, there's something going on this next weekend, I believe, that has to do with the Betty Ann Kroenke Center. You're doing an art auction, right?
We are.
That's
indeed
a benefit.
We're focusing very much on trying to help people who are subjected to domestic violence. And again, along the theme of it takes a lot of people, when somebody comes along who's interested in what we're doing, it provides them an opportunity to help make a difference. In this case, we have a person, Joyce Katz, who's opening up her home and doing a fundraiser for us. And Susan mm-hmm. could talk a little bit more about that.
Okay. Before we go to that, let's just take a brief pause here to let folks know they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Tom Haar. He's the Executive Director of Family Services, which primarily provides services to people in Montgomery County and Maryland. However, if you are listening and you need help or assistance of any kind, don't hesitate to call them or go to their website, because they will help you find the right agency in your community. And my other guest is Susan Ward, who's the clinical director of the Betty Ann Kroenke Center, which is a center that provides counseling and shelter for people who are victims of domestic violence. So at any rate, so Susan, let's talk a little bit about the fundraiser that you have coming up. It is some artists. You've got some interesting things, I think, in terms mm-hmm. of the art that's going to be auctioned off.
Yes. It really came out of an idea that Joyce Katz, as Tom mentioned, you know, saw the need for fundraising in this area and offered to pitch in and help. The name of the fundraiser is called Art That Gives, and it's this Saturday, August 11th from 5 to 9 p.m., there are five different artists that are donating art that's going to be auctioned, and the proceeds will go to Family Services and the Betty Ann Kroenke Center.
Oh, that's awesome.
One of the artists, Jen Duncan, came out to the shelter this week and actually did an art workshop with the children at the shelter. And the art that was created during that art class is also going to be part of the auction.
Oh, that's delightful. What a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
That's a very creative use of things that are, well, the kids will love it too.
They did, and they
oh,
made
they
some
must.
Wonderful things. So
mm-hmm.
that will be part of what goes up for sale this weekend.
Okay, that's
August. August 11th.
Yeah, that's the coming weekend. Okay, let's go back and talk about programs that you offer, and what are the extent of time that someone might come to Family Services and expect to get help? In other words, Tom, do you try to move people into some other kind of a program after they've come to you, let's say, for mental health counseling, for example? What do you do? What are people looking at when they come to you, for example, for help?
Well, mental health counseling is a good one to talk about. Yes, absolutely. We operate on what we would call a recovery model. And we hope that people with mental illness can learn to manage their symptoms, find employment, find housing, and move on to independent living. And many, many do.
So you provide them with the tools to do this, with the counseling, and what do you actually help them find job placement, or do you work with job placement agencies, or how do you do that?
Yes, we're a very comprehensive program when it comes to behavioral health services. We do outpatient mental health and what people might typically think of as therapy and counseling, mm-hmm. group mm-hmm. and individual. But we also have a rehabilitation program that provides housing. We have 27 residences with 97
wow.
people living in them throughout Montgomery County.
Let me just stop you. Could that be long-term or short-term?
No, that's many times long-term.
Okay.
Hopefully people move out of our residences and on into fully independent living, and many mm-hmm. do. But for some people, it can be very long-term too.
Mm-hmm. I see. So it just depends on the illness and recovery.
It depends on the nature and extent of the illness, and every individual is different, as you might guess, and the rate that they're
developing. Do you provide counseling for the family as well?
We have a family component too, yes. We have family
members. Because that's critical, I think, in dealing with mental issues.
It is, and a supportive family really does help.
I think that's what's so unique about Family Services is because we have such a wide array of services that when we have a client, once we kind of assess their needs, there's so many opportunities to meet all sorts of different aspects of their lives. And we end up doing that on many cases.
So you would really take the person in, talk with them and or their family.
Correct.
Assess their needs, and they might go into various aspects of your program.
Correct. We have families in the shelter that we get involved with the early Head Start program or with the parenting program or with the outpatient mental health clinic, mm-hmm. just depending on what their needs are, and just the continuity of services, I think is so much better for our clients.
How about helping people who are at the Betty Ann Kroenke Center to reintegrate into the community? Do you help them find housing? Is there ever concern about security?
Yes. I guess the answering the first question, case management is a big part of the services, and case management is really looking at what are the needs of the family. Mm-hmm. It could be entitlements, it could be insurance, it could be medical care, education, transportation, housing, etc. So that's where we look at that piece in particular and try to set up a plan by the time they're ready to leave, where they're in a safer living situation. Obviously, you can't fix everything in 60 to 90 days, but we try to really give them a good start.
Don't you think, too, that there's so much value in the fact that there's somebody there that will help? I mean, is hopelessness part of the syndrome
Absolutely.
That you have in domestic violence?
Absolutely. Hopelessness and isolation. What we consistently hear from the clients is how helpful the group therapy is in particular. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because of the dynamic of feeling alone and that you're the only one that this is happening to, and all the shame associated with domestic violence, and just how therapeutic it is to know that other people are going through or have gone through what you've gone through. It's not you. You are not, it's not your fault. You're not the problem. And to also see that there's, the possibility of healing.
Do you ever counsel the person who's the spouse?
We don't, as part of our program. There are those services through the Abused Persons Program. And so if If one of the women is interested in getting her partner or her partner's interested in treatment services, we can help facilitate that. We don't provide it directly.
But yes. Because it might be, in some cases, that would be of use.
Yes.
In others, it may not.
Some situations it might be unsafe.
Right, exactly.
We are at a confidential location and do have security because, you know.
You need it. Yes. No, you don't need to say any more to me. I would totally understand the need for that. But if someone listening to us is being subjected to domestic violence, and that can be various levels of either physical and or emotional abuse.
Verbal, it can be indirect or direct. There's all different types of, basically anything that feels related to power and control of an unfair nature that could take a lot of forms. The Montgomery County Crisis Center operates a hotline 24 hours a day, 365
and those,
days a
I'm
year.
Sure those agencies are mirrored in other counties around
Correct.
Our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. So for those, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Tom Haar. He's the Executive Director of Family Services, and Susan Ward, who's the Clinical Director of the Betty Ann Kroenke Center, which is a center for people who have been subjected to domestic violence. It's both residents and counseling program. So at any rate, Tom, going back to the programs, do you place emphasis on any one? Are there some programs that are particularly get more emphasis, more funding within family services, or are you pretty much spread across the board on the things that we've talked about?
Well, we're pretty much spread across the board, but clearly some of the programs are larger than others.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about behavioral health services earlier. We have an outpatient mental health center that has 1,400 patients.
Wow.
And so our patients are largely Medicaid and Medicare recipients.
So there is some sort of a financial component that you'd have to meet certain financial need standards in order to be participants.
Yes, you'd have to meet two criteria. One, you'd have to have an identified mental illness, and then also you'd have to have some insurance or authorizations that you need these services mm-hmm. for Medicaid and Medicare.
Right.
One of the interesting things that we're doing and you don't get to be 104 years old without evolving a little bit, is that mentally ill people tend to die about 25 years younger than their counterparts.
Wow.
Often not because of the mental illness, but because of neglect of physical illness issues. Hypertension, diabetes are very common. We see that problem in the general population, but we see it a lot in the population of people who are dealing with mental illness. So right now we have a great partnership with Community Clinic, which is a federally qualified health center in Montgomery County, to provide primary care right in our outpatient mental health center.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already been able to get reductions in blood pressure levels and blood sugar levels for some of the people in the program. So, you know, there's a constant evolution of what we do.
You know, that's really important for anybody who's listening to us who has a loved one who has a mental illness issue to make sure that that person is taking care of their health. I did not know that. That astonishes me how the death rate is so much higher at an early age.
Well, to be honest, we were stunned by that, too. And one of the things that prompted us was the loss of some of our clients at a much earlier age than we thought should have been reasonable. And we began pursuing integration. But the integration now of primary care into behavioral health programs is a nationwide effort. We're one of 68 grantees nationally from the Federal Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA, for people that can't stand all the acronyms or like acronyms, to demonstrate that you can make a difference. It's just that people who are burdened with mental illness don't always have the resources personally to get to primary care, and they may be uncomfortable in our normal primary care setting or the average one, the doctor's office. And this brings it to them. So this is an evolution that, you know, you think that would have happened years ago, but, you know, it's just happening now and it's important.
Well, it's the evolution of knowledge.
It is.
As you said,
yes.
You evolve.
Yes, we're learning what constitutes a best practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else people who are listening to us now, you can go to your local communities. If you don't have a computer, go to the library to find out assistance, programs that can help you, no matter what your problem is. And also, I'm sure there are lots of counseling agencies within the local governments, but they can call you.
Yes, we take all calls, and we do try to refer people whenever we can.
Yeah, to find something that will meet right. their needs. What are some of the other programs? Now, you talk about the Head Start, the families, the babies, but you also do something. You have a program called Watch Me Grow. What is that?
Oh, interesting one. We opened a child care center in Clarksburg, and if anybody knows the county and they've been up to Clarksburg, townhouses are springing up like mushrooms up there, and the population is growing. And so we decided it would be a good place to open a child care center. So we take children 0 to 5 years old, and we have about 137 children enrolled.
I bet you have a waiting list.
We have a waiting list for infants almost always. There are not enough slots for newborns in child care. And child care is tough for everybody. It's expensive
and it's so important. It's so critical. And so this program, then, is it based on need for the people who can participate?
It is not. It's sort of a market rate program.
Okay, so people have to pay to participate.
Yes, they do. Yes.
And what do you hope to come out of this? Do you see your agency opening up more of these kinds of facilities?
We're hopeful that we would, yes. I mean, we see the need to develop, diversify. We need to diversify the income into the organization. That helps us do that while still doing our core mission and drawing on the strengths that we have, which is we have good people with advanced degrees in early childhood education and child development. And as an early Head Start site, we have a strong component for early childhood services. And so this was something that we thought would be very compatible with all the other things we do. But it's also a little bit of an effort to have a long range strategic plan where we're in the community. And then as that community develops, if there are other needs that develop, that people would know us, and then we may also then open up other
You could
services.
Open up and meet those needs, right. Well, you know, that's very very insightful to look at the areas of high growth, because there are many development issues going on there. And I don't mean personal development. I mean in terms of services and what's available for the community and so on. So you're being rather far-sighted in doing that. That's to be congratulated.
I want to
just go back briefly to the art auction that you all are doing, Susan, next week. Just tell us a little bit about it. If people want to find out more information, then go to your website.
Yes, and Wendy Anderson is our Director of Communications. She would also be a good contact, and that number is 301-840-3208. So it's both on the website, Family Services website, or they can contact Wendy for some additional information.
Okay, and that number is 301-840-3208. And again, the art auction is to benefit the Betty Ann Kroenke Center, and many people are familiar with Betty Ann's name. She had ALS and fought a valiant battle. She served with the Montgomery County Council, and I'm proud to say she was my friend. She made a tremendous impact in the community, and I think what you all are doing in honoring her name is tremendous. So anyway, Tom, just a few seconds. Got any final words for our listeners?
Just on the art auction, if people want to support us and can't make it to the auction, they can go to the website, and anybody that wants to make a donation can specify exactly what they want to support, whether it's domestic violence or behavioral health.
Whatever. Thank you. That's great. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests have been Tom Haar, Executive Director of Family Services, and Susan Ward, Clinical Director of the Betty Ann Kroenke Center. I'm Shirley Rooker, and thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.